All right. Well, today we continue the series titled The Heart of Worship. And just so you know, if you weren't here last week, worship is much more than what we do before the offering and the message. You saw something happen here that was powerful. Amen. It is what we were created to do and to be worshipers. So the message of today is still called the Heart of Worship, but I'm calling it Under the Cloud. Under the Cloud. How many of you noticed that we were under the cloud today? I'm going to be teaching about that in case you don't know what are those people talking about, the cloud. You know, I'm not talking about the iCloud or the, you know, storing your files in the cloud. And, you know, it's a little bit different. So you can show my title slide if you have it. I guess maybe there's some issues. So we'll continue. So we read last week from John chapter 4, verse 23, and it says there that God is looking for worshipers. It says, but the hour is coming, Jesus says, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. So the Father is looking for worshipers. And that's you. That's each one of you. You are worshipers. It's not just the people that play music. It's not just the people that sing. You are the worshipers. All of us are the worshipers. Amen? So I want to start with my point number one for today's message. Worship is exclusive. Worship is exclusive. What do I mean by that? Well, check this out. Let's define it. What is worship? And to do that, I'm going to start with Exodus 34, verse 14. Look at what God says. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. So the first thing we see here is that worship is something that must only be rendered to God. Our worship is to God. No other thing should get our worship. Amen? So the word that we see here in the Hebrew is the word shachah, which means to bow down, to prostrate yourself. And it's funny, we sang a song today about, you know, bowing ourselves, you know, falling down on my knees to worship, right? We sang that, you know, so I try not to lie, you know, when I sing, so I do fall on my knees, because if I'm singing, I might as well do it, right? You know, someone said, the Christians don't tell lies, they just sing them, you know, because we sing things that we don't do, or, you know, so we must, you know, follow through, or just don't open your mouth. Just get that for that line. God, I can't do this right now, you know. So when people came into contact with the supernatural, we see in the Bible, whether it was an angel, God himself, you know, or if they were, you know, relating to false gods or idols, that was the primordial response, was to fall down in worship by bowing down, by prostrating themselves, lowering themselves to the ground. That means that worship is about lowering yourself and in turn putting the object of your worship as higher than you. You lower yourself and you bring that person up. So that's why you understand that it should only be God who is held at the, you know, higher than you. Now we honor people. We honor, you know, our authorities. We honor, you know, our parents. It says honor your father and your mother. You know, Jesus said, even give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God. We give the worship to God. We give honor to people. We submit to authorities. Why? Because it's delegated, you know, from the only true God. God is the one that puts up authorities. Remember, we studied that last year. He's the one that places, you know, all the governors and leaders and cops and teachers, the people that we have over us, our supervisors, and we must honor them and give them their place, but we only worship one being, and that is God himself, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's who we give the worship to. In case some of you said, well, I've never bowed down before anyone, you know, and we see that in the Bible. Remember when Daniel and his friends were told, hey, you must bow down before this idol. And they said, no, we cannot do that. We will not do that. You only, you know, bow down before God. When in the book of Esther, when we see Mordecai and the man Achan came by and everybody was bowing down, and he just stood straight up. He says, how come you won't bow down before me? He's like, sorry, I only bow down before one. That's the living God. You know, so we can now bow down before anyone else or anything else but God. But you say, I've never done that. I've never done it, you know. But what about opinions? We bow down to someone else's opinion and we put it higher than God. We don't put the scriptures higher than other people's opinions. We fear people and their opinions more than we fear God. And that is a form of bowing down. So we cannot do that. We must place him above all things. The word says that we should submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you want the devil to flee from you, then you need to submit to God's opinion. When it talks about submitting to God, it just means do what the Bible tells you to do in that particular area of your life. That's what that means. Whether it's your finances, relationships, you know, how we do things here, we always do it the biblical way. We submit to God by submitting to his word, by being obedient to God's word. Amen? All right. Another definition of worship is that which we do out of service for God. Look at Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. That they may serve me. The word here that we see here is abad. Other places they say aboda, but it's abad, you know, in this particular case, that which the Levites, the people appointed to do the religious work. Okay? These were the only ones who could work in the tabernacle or the temple. They're the ones who could touch the holy things, the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, the brazen altar. The job of the Levite, from whose tribe came the priests, you know, like Aaron and Moses, which was the brother of the first high priest, you know, they came from the tribe of Levi. You guys understand that? Of the 12 tribes? This is a special tribe. Like I said, I'm sending them aside. They don't have any other work. They don't have to go out and gather food. You know, they don't have to go out and go hunting. They don't have to, you know, go sell stuff and do merchandising. You know, your job is to serve me. You will serve in the tabernacle. You will serve, you will take turns, you know, as a family, and you will do this. So their job was to be the mediators between God and the rest of the people. God had set them aside. They were holy. They were special unto him. They were made holy unto him. So their whole purpose in life was to serve at the temple and to minister to the people as they brought their offerings and their sacrifices. The people could not come into contact with God except through the work of the Levites and the Levitic priests. No one else could do it. You couldn't be from the tribe of Reuben. You couldn't be from the tribe of Judah, you know, and serve at the tabernacle or the temple. All right, but after Jesus came, the ministry of the Levite was given to all of us, right? If we put it together, what we just read in Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, God said, let my people go. He pulled us all out of a life of sinfulness and being slaves to sin so that we could become a very special people to him and so we could become mediators between us and a fallen world. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Come on, tell the person next to you, you're a royal priest. You're not just a priest, you're a royal priest. Hallelujah. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The people that worshiped at the temple, they were Levites. And so we, as the new Levites, as the new, you know, mediators between a fallen world and God, we need to point people to God by praising him, by bringing him to worship in all that we do. Obviously with what comes out of our mouth, with music, but also with our acts of service. Amen? Hallelujah. Furthermore, the word says that it is not just religious actions which are considered worship, right? Anything that we do with a heart of worship is pleasing to him. Look what Colossians 3:16 says. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whether you work, you know, for the military, you work in the marketplace, you're a teacher, or you're a student, you know, whatever you are, if you do it with a heart for God, that is considered worship. And God receives it. Hallelujah. And if you do that, you know, his blessing is going to be upon you. The cloud is going to be upon you. Hallelujah. Remember that God is a jealous God. He purchased you. He purchased me for a high price. He redeemed for himself a people They'll always put him higher than themselves. We must always lift him up. Amen? Our worship must be exclusive. There's nothing else in this world that you need to be bound down to. No one's opinion. So think about that. Do you ever do that? Point number two. Worship is Jesus-centered. Worship has to be Jesus-centered. Hallelujah. We're going to start with Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. And this is what God said to Moses. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Hallelujah. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. So he said, you're going to make me a tabernacle, but you can't just do however you want. You can't decorate it however you want. You can't just worship however you want. We got to worship God the way he likes to be worshipped. You can't just give him the leftovers or what comes easy to you. You need to come to God, you know, with the sacrifice of praise. God was very specific on the designs of the tabernacle of Moses, which was also used to design Solomon's temple, right? One was just on a tent, and one was a heart building, right? We also see the same design in Ezekiel's temple. And we also see the same design in the New Jerusalem, you know, what we see in Revelation. Because it all points to Jesus, and it all points to heaven. God said, I want you to be very careful how you put this tabernacle together, because it displays who Jesus is, and it also displays what heaven looks like. So you need to be very careful how you put this thing. God put meaning into every bit of material, every dimension, every decoration, the clothing of the Levites, the clothing adornment of the high priest, the purification rites, the types of offerings, the types of feasts, because they each give us a clue as to who Jesus is and what heaven looks like. Amen? And I could do a whole series on that, and maybe one day I'm going to. I'm sure you could start by going to Hebraic Christianity 101 and hearing some of that, if you haven't done that on Wednesdays. Right? So I want to show you a quick picture of what the living looked like in the desert. I know it may be difficult to see, but this is the tabernacle, right? You had all those badger skins. There was only one entrance which faced the east, right? And the first thing that you would see with that brazen altar, you would have the laver where they would wash themselves. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Let me back up. He's the door. He says, I am the door, and no one can come to the Father except through me. And then you have the brazen altar. That's where the sacrifice was born. That represents the cross. And you had the laver. It says you've been washed by the water of the word. Amen. And then they would go into the holy place. And they had the table of showbread. It was a special bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And you had the special candle with seven branches. And that represents the seven spirits of God. Amen. And then you have the incense, which represents the prayers of the saints. They go up to God continually, 24 hours a day, you know, bringing, you know, a sweet fragrance to God that pleased him. And then there was this curtain that separated the holy place from the holy of holies. And the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, that the temple was ripped from the top, you know, to the bottom, to signify that it was God initiated. Hallelujah. And now we all had access into heaven, into the throne of grace, into his presence. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we can come boldly into the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Amen. And there was the mercy seat was right there under the cherubim. And that's where the high priest would go once a year and intercede for the people, to do atonement for the people after all this purification rites. But each one of those things points to Jesus, and it points to heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. But one of the things, can I see that picture again, if that's okay? One of the things that I want to point out is that it was exactly in the center of the community. The place of worship was at the center of the community. You had three tribes would set up to the east, three tribes to the west, three tribes to the south, three tribes to the north. And it can't just be any tribe. They told them, you know, these three tribes will go to the east, these three tribes will go this way. It all has a meaning and has a purpose. And the other thing that you see is that God was so pleased that they followed, you know, his design to the T. And he says, when people worship me the way I like to be worshipped, I'm going to put my seal of approval on it, and I'm bringing in that cloud. And it says that during the day, they would have this cloud that would sit on it. And it would guide them through the desert. And then at night, you'd have this pillar of fire. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Hope you're seeing this. You want the favor of God? Do you want His face to shine upon you? I know we pray that all the time. And then you need to worship the way He likes to be worshipped. Come on, which brings us to point number three. Worship draws the cloud. Worship draws the cloud. Come on. I don't know if you noticed, today we had the cloud. The point of the tabernacle was to commune with God. That's why it was at the center. The center of your life should be, you know, about worshiping God. That's what we call the heart of worship, because the heart is the deepest place of who you are, the most important part of who you are. Proverbs 4:26 says, guard your heart above all things, for out of it flow the issues of life. Why? Because that's where your treasure is. And it's to be centered on worshiping God. Worshiping God. Everything you do should flow from it. You should not fear anything or anyone else, you know, above God. Hallelujah. So we see two principles operating here. We were created to know Him and have a love relationship with Him. And number two, we were created to manifest the realities of heaven and the throne room on earth. That's why we always pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bill Johnson, the pastor of Bethel Church in Redding, California, he says that he doesn't think that the Great Commission is what we always say, Matthew 28, you know, verses, you know, 19 and 20, you know, or Mark 16, in all those verses that we quote. Says the Great Commission is what we find in the Lord's Prayer when Jesus said, teach us how to pray, may your kingdom come, where your will be done. Everything else stems from that. You know, when we allow for heaven to invade earth, come on, amazing things happen. Salvation happens, healing happens, right? Prophecy happens. The word says that no flesh can see God and live. You know, I was just thinking of Moses and the burning bush. You know, it's always God initiated. It's not that, you know, Moses was trying to be holy and seek God, but God said, no, I'm going to get your attention. And he said, hey, I want to show myself to you. But remember, what did he say before he approached the burning bush? He says, take off your sandals, right? Basically saying, you need to remove your unrighteousness from you before you approach me, because no, you know, unholy thing can see God, can be close to God. Only that which has been sanctified can be a recipient of God's glory and everything that it comes with. Are you hearing that? Only that which has been sanctified can be a recipient of God's glory. Whenever the Bible, you know, talked about God's glory manifesting, it was saying that heaven was touching down on earth and the realities of heaven were being manifest. When we're in that place of the cloud, the faith levels begin to rise. Did anybody feel your faith level rise? Come on. The levels of understanding and revelation begin to increase. That is why the prophetic, that which reveals heaven to us, that's what the prophetic is really doing. It's taking from the other side of the curtain where God is and say, hey, guys, this is what I'm seeing on this side of the curtain. And it's awesome. It's pretty awesome. This is what's happening. God is saying, what? What are you saying? Oh, he's saying he's going to pour out his spirit upon you today in a special way. Oh, what else are you saying? Oh, he's saying, I'm going to heal someone today. You know, that's all the prophet is doing. He's speaking into the heavenlies and speaking what is here in the spirit into the natural, so that our faith levels also rise by that. That's why we love the prophetic. And by the way, the prophetic is always tied into worship. Whenever they wanted the prophet to speak, you say, hey, is there someone that can play the instruments here? Is there a Levi that can strum, you know, the harp for me? And they would begin to play. And as they began to play and the cloud fell into that place, all of a sudden the prophet would say, oh, yes, I hear you, God. I hear what you're saying, God. You want God's manifest presence on your life everywhere you go. You want the cloud to follow you at work. Then make your life about worship. The cloud will follow you. It will follow you everywhere you go. And obviously, when we're here in a corporate setting, you can be a little more deliberate. You can be, you know, we can sing all the songs together. You know, but when you're walking around the marketplace, you say, God, you're so good. The cloud is there. Hallelujah. And he speaks to you. Oh, some people are getting excited about this, but not everybody yet. Okay, I'm going to try a little harder here. All of a sudden, things just become sharper. and everything takes its proper place when we're in God's presence. That's why I love that song. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, and all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Because even your biggest problems, that Goliath in your life, you come into God's presence and God's saying, you want to see it from up here? Check it out. Is it really that big? Yeah. Okay, now that I think of it, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I was drowning in a glass of water. Some of you are constantly battling anxiety. You need to come up and see your situation from God's perspective. I'm telling you, sometimes it is, you know, there is demons that are attacking you, spirits of fear that try to cling on you. But you know what? You go into the cloud, the demons, you know, they have to let go. They can't be where God is. You want them to leave you alone? Start worshiping God. Start playing that worship music. You know, growing up, I would put those songs before I went to bed. You know, even last night, I just felt I needed to worship. And I went to bed really late. I think I had too much caffeine, you know. But I remember I just put on my headset, and I was playing some old songs I hadn't played in a while, man. And I began to just worship God. And this tenderness, this love for God just began to grow in me. And I was talking to Him, and He was talking to me. Hallelujah. You can do that anywhere. You can come up as high as you want to God. You want to stay down there? That's fine. That's up to you. But God said, anybody that wants to come up the steps, all the way to the throne room, you can do it. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. I was glad to see that people say, you know what, God? Why not? I'm going up the steps. I know some more of you would have done it, but there's only so much room on the steps. Hallelujah. So when the tabernacle was finished that very day and they burned their first set of sacrifices, it says the fire came from heaven. It wasn't man-made fire. The fire, the first time when they inaugurated that tabernacle, the fire came from heaven. God is saying, I'm putting my seal of approval. You've done it my way. I'm going to bless you. And you know, and the cloud would follow them everywhere they went. But there was also a time when the cloud would not just hover above it, it would all come all the way down and fill the rooms. And nobody could do anything in that moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the other seal of approval, which you want in your life, is the cloud. Let's look at what happens in Exodus chapter 40. When the tabernacle was completed and the worship, the service began. Look at this, verse 33. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Amen. Hallelujah. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, good things are happening right there. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. You know, he couldn't see anything. God's presence was so strong, you know. At that moment, you don't want a priest to minister because God's doing all the ministering. Sometimes when we're about to go into ministry, I say, God, would you do what you do best? Yeah. You know, I'm okay with me not having to lay hands on people. Yeah. God can do it all by himself. And sometimes he says, you know what? Just move out of the way. I'm going to do it myself. You know, when Peter was obedient and went to preach to the family of Cornelius, it says that he was just preaching. And while he was preaching, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit before he was even done talking. And they began to, you know, prophesy and praise the Lord. It's like, I guess I don't have to lay hands on them anymore. They're good to go. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, you haven't been baptized in water? Well, I'll baptize you in water. We'll take care of that too. But, you know, God is wanting to, you know, hover over us. And it says here, and whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, and they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. You know, they were doing it God's way. He says, I'm going to put my seal of approval on you. Today, the word of the Lord came forth and was saying, my seal of approval is on Shiloh. I'm going to fill you, then I'm going to fill the community. I'm going to fill you, then I'm going to fill the community. Hallelujah. So now let's fast forward and let's look at what happened in the inauguration of Solomon's temple. There's another parallel to this. Remember, both of these were designed by God. We must worship in spirit and in truth. We got to go through Jesus. Hallelujah. We must worship him how he wants to be worshipped. We must endeavor to please him. If you touch his heart, you're in for amazing things. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, I'm just going to read 11 through 14. And it says, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves, hallelujah, without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, those were the worship leaders, they were the choir leaders, they were the musicians, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, string instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And look at what it says here. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one. Hallelujah. God crowns, hallelujah, his blessing. You know, he crowns us with blessing when we come together as one. Hallelujah. So they made a sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals of instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And we sang that today too. That the house of the Lord was filled with what? A cloud. They came under the cloud. And look what happened at that moment. So that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Amen. So it happened with the tabernacle of Moses. And it happened, you know, in Solomon's temple. God said, the very first time you begin to worship him, I will supply the fire. And I'm going to bring my cloud to bless you. And I can just see everybody just flat on their faces, just crying, just saying, thank you, Lord. Oh, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Oh, God, you are God. You love Israel. We love you. We want to serve you. Oh, what do you want us to do, God? We belong to you. We are your people. Hallelujah. Worship erupted from their lips. Hallelujah. The cloud is the manifest presence of God. It is not often a visible cloud, though I have heard reports, you know, of an actual cloud coming into a place. I've never seen it. I just sense the weight of the cloud come into the room. And today there was a breakthrough moment. You know, as pastor was, you know, was ministering. Actually, even before that, when we were in the middle of the worship, I can't remember what song it was, and I just felt like all of a sudden God was saying, bam, here you go, guys. I'm here. I'm in the scene. Did anybody else feel that breakthrough moment? That was the cloud coming into this place and touching us. Come on. Oh. But it's not seeing it what makes the cloud great. The cloud, like we said, is God's seal of approval. He said it's thrown in the midst of our worship, and that's where the realities of heaven begin to manifest. So what does that look like? When heaven invades earth and we touch his heart, number one, throne worship is full of peace, joy, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. It's full of order, worth, honor, design. Hallelujah. Our insecurities go away. We all feel perfectly loved and gone. Throne worship is free of disease and anxiety. Come on. Hallelujah. Those that touch his heart receive favor. And every problem, like we said, in circumstance, takes its proper place. And I want to tell you, as I close, many believers are happy with just entering the atrium of the temple. Some people just say, hey, I'm happy here. I'll just watch what's happened on. You know, but I want you to go further. I'm just happy to have my sins forgiven. There's many denominations where, you know, they do bad things during the week. You know, and then they come in on Sunday, you know, and they feel like, hey, I sang some songs. I gave my offering. My heart is clean. I'm good to go. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to be, you know, fully devoted to him. Hallelujah. God's favor rests on those who go deeper, who press further, those who love his presence. God is not a respecter of persons. He has no favorites. He has a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's what sets individuals apart. That's what sets churches apart. That's what sets families apart. Hallelujah. Are you having worship in your home? Are you having individual worship? Amen. Come on. 1 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Those whose heart are loyal to him. Can I have the worship team come up? I want to ask you, who is hungry for his presence?